Let me ask you to do something, if you would, please. Would you just take a few moments, and would you turn to somebody close by you there, and just ask him or her a simple question. Ask them, what is a soul? And then listen to the answer, okay? And then let them ask you that very same question. What is a soul? Go. Hey, Ellen, what's a soul? You're a cop out. You got it? What would you say, really? From inward out. Cool. Oh, I'm going to give it here in just a moment. I get 15 minutes. That's a good answer. That's a good answer. You're a wonderful soul, my blessing. Well, what is a soul? I suspect that the answers we heard in this room were probably all over the place. I mean literally, not just everywhere you're seated, but probably the answers that were given were just all over the place. And I suspect that the second loudest noise in this room, other than people's voices, was the sound of people scratching their heads and saying, I don't know. When we refer to a soul all the time, don't we? We say such expressions as, bless my soul. Or, I couldn't reach it to save my soul. Or, that poor soul is absolutely clueless. Or, I did some soul searching and I found the answer. We talk about a soul all the time, but do we know what we're talking about? What is a soul? Now, if I asked you, what is a body? Well, that's easy. That's really, really easy. The answer would have come like, this is a body. I got a body right here. I can show it to you. I understand it very well. I see it. I feel it. I tend to it every day. This body can be analyzed. It can be diagnosed. It can be cut on. It can be improved. This body can be tired and run down. Oh, I know what a body is. That's easy. How about a mind? What is a mind? You say, well, that's easy too. I know that my mind is a extremely complex brain matter that's located here right in my skull, and I know I have it because I use it every day. I think, I'm aware, I'm conscious. I'm a logical, functioning human being because I have a mind. I use my mind constantly, you could say to yourself. You use it even when you're sleeping, don't you? It's active. Did you dream last night? You know your mind was still at work. We know what a mind is, and we know that we have one. Most of us. I look out and I wonder about some of you, but No, I'm just kidding. Body. Mind. What is a soul? I kind of know, but it's hard to say. Can you see a person's soul? No. No, not like you can see the body, not like you can see evidence of their mind. How do you know that you have a soul or that anybody else has a soul? Perhaps it's just a projection of your thinking, of your imagination. Perhaps the soul doesn't exist at all. Perhaps it's just wishful thinking. You wish you had one. Incredible, isn't it? Absolutely incredible. Higher education can teach these technical courses in human physiology and anatomy and anthropology and psychology. Universities can take a person apart, can study every inch of him or her. We can take the human brain apart, and yet the human mind remains a total mystery as to even under the most advanced sciences of the day. We do not know how we human beings came to be or why we came to be? Why do humans have thinking and reasoning ability far above the animals that animals are not capable of doing? Is man an immortal soul? Is that true? Or is he human flesh and blood with an immortal soul within him? Why are we put here? Did we just happen to be put here by blind, unintelligent processes of evolution? We ought to want to know the answers to these questions. What does the book of Genesis say? It says God made all the animals, and then he differentiated when he went on to make human beings. What made a human being? Was it the body? Animals have bodies. No, there's that key verse where it says, and God breathed into him the spirit, made him in his image. He infused or injected something special in human beings that is in no other animal creatures. And then the Bible speaks about a soul all through its pages, in various times and various ways. You just could find it all through the Bible. And then, more importantly, the Lord Jesus recognized that people have souls. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. So he said there is such a thing as a soul. He also said, hey, what does it profit a person if he should gain the whole world but lose his soul? Now, I doubt that the Son of God, who really knows everything that is he needs to reveal, I doubt he's wrong about this. How about you? You think so? Think Jesus is right about this? We have a soul? Some of our modern inattention to this is a matter of just willful ignorance. We're not paying attention. Some of our lack of probing in this area about the soul and spirituality, it's just laziness, you know? Since we can't see it, we can't weigh it, we can't measure it, a soul must not be as real as other stuff, and therefore it must not be as important, we tend to think. And then because God is involved with talk about a soul, there's a whole lot of our human institution that becomes hostile to that, that becomes resistant to that. And whatever the primary concerns of civilization are, things like government and even religion and education, science, technology, industry, tends to shy away from God because we really like to keep his nose out of our affairs. Right? So denying that there is such a thing as a soul is kind of easy for mankind, but it's also kind of wrong. You look up the word soul in Wikipedia online today, and you know what you'll find? It says, in many religions and parts of philosophy, the soul is the immaterial part of a person. Did some of you give that answer? It's not material. It's usually thought to consist of one's thoughts and personality and can be synonymous with spirit, mind, or self. In theology, the soul is often believed to live on after the person's death. And some religions posit that God creates souls. In some cultures, non-human living things and sometimes inanimate objects are said to have souls, a belief known as animism. The term soul and spirit are often used interchangeably. That's Wikipedia. The Greek word for soul is pneuma. And you know what that means? It's derived from the verb to cool, to blow. It has to do with like the wind. It refers to the vital breath, the animating principle in humans, as opposed to soma in Greek, which really just means body. New Age definition of soul by philosopher Jed Kay. He says, the collective influence of all individual parts that make up the whole. It's not a bad definition. It's a lot on track. The ancient Greeks used the same word that they used for alive as the word ensouled. They equated the two. To be alive was to be ensouled. Socrates considered the soul as the essence of a person, being that which decides how we behave. He considered the essence to be an incorporeal, eternal occupant of our being. And as bodies die, the soul is continually reborn in subsequent bodies. That was Socrates. Aristotle, he followed Plato, and he defined the soul as the core or the essence of a living being. And he argued against it having a separate existence in its entirety. In Aristotle's view, a living soul is its activity, that is, its life. Okay, you see, I wanted to just give you a sampling of philosophers and cultures. I mean, I could go on and on and on and give you all sorts of quotes and all sorts of definitions and philosophical statements. And I would not be at all surprised if I got to the end of that and you'd still be saying to yourself, okay, what is a soul? I think the easiest way to put it is to say the soul, your soul, is the real you and the total you. The real you and the total you. Now, right now, your soul is inseparably joined to your body and your mind. You can't cut them apart. They're not separate. They're all together as one entity in reality. That is what the Hebrews believed. They didn't act as if there was a soul living inside a body. They said, no, 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 it's body, mind, soul, and spirit. They're all wrapped up together as one. And that's the best way to understand it. That's the way it really is. So wait a minute, you have, raise your hand, you have a question. Okay, I have a question. If the body dies, does the soul die? Maybe. Maybe not. You know we can't prove it one way or the other. It's a big question. I think God limits our ability to know this, and he does so for a very good reason. We just have to trust him on this. He's not going to give us proof. Never will be proof for the existence of a soul. In this life, it will always be a matter of faith. But let me ask you this. Let me ask you just to stop and listen to me real strong for 1 second. When you think about it, do you feel that you have a soul? You know, do you just feel that you do? I'd be amazed if you said no. I bet you'd say yes. If you really take time to think about it and dig deep down inside and say, do I have a soul? I think the thought of being dead is hard to accept because deep down inside we sense that our real self consists of a soul that's going to keep on existing even after this old body runs out of gas. You know? I really think that's why we don't believe we're going to die, because we sense that we have an immortal soul. And do you realize, of course, that this belief, this feeling, is universal to all tribes and cultures and nations and peoples and religions all over the world? They go about defining it maybe sometimes in different ways, but everybody who's human feels that he or she has a soul. Even though we can't see it, even though we can't measure it. You know, and in my opinion, modern people ought to have the easiest time to believe that there is such a thing as a soul. You know why? Because we know more now about the reality of matter and energy and reality through the scientists, which is a wonderful, wonderful blessing. We understand energy and matter much, much better. And it's a lot more mystical and mysterious than we ever imagined before we knew all this stuff. Let me give you an example here, just a simple example. A hydrogen molecule is made up of, in the very center, there's a neutron and a proton. And what's that little thing that's buzzing around those things? Electron, right? Just one for hydrogen. Well, that thing is made up of a little electron that's just buzzing around the center there. So fast, it's as if it's a ball, but it's not really, because if you could just freeze that electron for a super, super, super micron of a second, it's just a little spot. What's most of the hydrogen molecule made of? Nothing, as far as we know. Nothing. To me, that's absolutely amazing. And then all the other molecules are just more complex configurations of those kind of things. And I have a question. How come that little electron doesn't stop? How come it doesn't run out of energy? How come it keeps on going? Boy, this is mysterious. I don't know. And what's that little electron made of? You know, are there finer qualities and properties other than atoms? You ever heard about quarks? You ever heard about Higgs boson's particles? These are the smaller things that make up atoms and electrons and so forth. And bottom line, as far as we can get so far, maybe the string theory of energy and matter is true. I can't even explain it. I don't understand it. What I'm saying is there are finer materials available out there to compose something than you and I are consciously aware of, but we can be. Did you know that we know now that of all this great big universe, you know how much of it is material that you can see and measure and observe? Only 4% of the universe is made up of visible matter. 96% of the universe is made up of invisible energy and matter that you almost can't detect and measure, but it's very, very real and very, very there. You say, what's the point of all of that? The point is, it's possible for something to exist on a matter of energy level and space and matter and time other than what we experience right now here in the body. It's not hard at all to imagine that a spiritual being can be made up of finer material. And you say, boy, that sure makes it complex, doesn't it? Yeah. If you're trying to talk about what a spirit is, we don't really know. And I don't even have time to go into ghosts. You know, what are ghosts? Are they finer material bodied people who are able to walk around in the midst of our existence? Don't have time to consider that, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's something along those lines. But today, we just have to keep it very, very simple. Our talk of soul is very useful because the soul is real, and you've got one. Are you paying attention to it? Are you nurturing it? Are you feeding it? Or are you just stuck on the level of the body and the mind? You know, we have whole institutions devoted to the body and taking care of it. They're called hospitals, medical centers. All their concern is about the body, right? We have all sorts of institutions and organizations related to the mind. They're called universities and colleges. And the people up here today made use of those and they were feeding their minds. And we have one institution that's devoted to something deeper, something more important, the soul, the spirit. And it's called the church. That's why this building is here. That's why we're here today. Because it's all about the soul, the spirit, which we said at the beginning was what? It's the real you and the full you.